Today is a great joy for me. There's a great joy in heaven when this happens. And I can remember the first day when it happened to me. I just told them to work it out. It happened on the 21st of June, 1949. You work it out. It's a long time ago. I was only seven, by the way. But I was going to jump in there if the pastor didn't baptize me and say, "Baptize me." That's how keen I was. And look at me. I'm still keen. But I'm going to finish today with speaking on the final word from Jesus on the cross and comparing that with what's happened this morning in the water here with the people. The passage that was read to us by Lorraine from Luke chapter 23, I want to pick up just one verse from there. This is the seventh cry of Jesus from the cross. And this word was in verse 46, which says, "Then Jesus shouted, 'Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands.' And with those words, he breathed his last." I don't think Jesus shouted like I read that just now. And we'll find out why I feel that. I want you to notice that the scripture does not say Jesus whispered. Think about it. A man who suffered for so long with all the beating, the punching, and the agony, and no food, desertion, desolation, the sins of the world upon him, crucified, bleeding, most of the blood draining out of his body. Now it's coming out with water too, which is shutting down. Do you think someone will just say, "Father, I entrust my spirit to you"? No. The scripture says very clearly, Jesus shouted, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." The reason why Jesus shouted like that, and Luke recorded, Luke was a doctor. He made meticulous records, and that record is very clear. It is the words of someone who's about to breathe his last, Jesus. I don't know if you've been at the bedside of someone who breathed their last. I have. Or for at least few people. And most often it's just a gasp, a puff, and they're gone. Sometimes there are a few words to a loved one before they go. This is the words of a loved one to a loved one, his father, where there was a broken connection at that point, and he said, "Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands." Someone who's about to die for the sins of the whole world. No one in history had ever died for the sins of the whole world, and no one will ever die for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is the only one. And everyone, the reason why Jesus shouted those words, he wanted everybody to hear it. Because the scriptures, if you compare the synoptic gospels and you compare the gospels together and read the scriptures, you find that the people looked up and heard it, and there were different expressions, I'm sure, on their faces, but there was also words that came out of their mouths, and it'd be interesting for you to make a little search of those words that came out, because Jesus wanted them to hear it. His words were strong words. His words were definitive words, not words from someone who was not knowing what's going to happen to him. I don't have time to tell you about the last words of people who've passed from this earth. Many of them have made last words. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. This seventh cry, I want to point out three things from this cry. This seventh cry from the cross reveals intimacy. This cry is unlike the fourth cry that he cried out when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It was a cry of desperation because everyone had forsaken him. But this was a different cry. It was a cry of intimacy. "Father, I'm so glad." If you look at Eden and Piper right in front there, If they want to entrust something to someone, something that they really treasure, guess who they'll turn to? That's right. They'll turn to their mom and dad. And Jesus was turning to his Father because he knew he could entrust his spirit into his Father's hand, and all the work on the cross of Calvary once for all time and for eternity was finished right there. And he said, Father, into your hands. Remember, Jesus and his Father, he said many times, are one. He couldn't do anything on this earth without his Father. They knew a union that no one can understand. And Jesus entrusted his spirit finally into the hands of his Father. So this seventh cry was not only a cry of intimacy, but was a cry of trust. He trusted his Father. In Psalm 31, verse 5, Messianic Psalms, you read some of the Psalms. Pastor Rod reminded us of Psalm 22 last few Sundays ago. And these are Psalms, Messianic Psalms, pointing to Jesus. And here Jesus, these words that Jesus cried out are found in Psalm 31, verse 5. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. Commit, the word commit, entrust. I commit my spirit. And trust is a Hebrew verb, pakad. And the corresponding verb in the Greek where Jesus cries out, actually Jesus cried out, must have cried out in Aramaic, translated into the Greek, paratetemai, which means to entrust into someone's hands for safekeeping. Handing over. Lord, you, Father, you sent me here. Now I hand my spirit back to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his, don't be ashamed to say that, his only Son, the greatest treasure of heaven, he gave. Just as Jesus takes his last breath, he trusts his eternal destiny into his Father's hands. I think Jesus must have been expecting this last moment with anticipation. Wonder what you'll expect on that last moment of your life. Have you ever thought about it? Someone asked me today, how is it going? How long more have you got to live? I said, 41 years more. That's right. I'll keep on going until the Father says, stop. The seventh cry from the cross is not only one of intimacy or trust, but it is one of total submission to his Heavenly Father. Total submission. The Father said to his Son, go and pay the price for sins. No one else can do that. He went implicitly. He came. He became a man. And he lived his life. Jesus surrenders now this earthly life given to him by his Father. Remember, at the time of conception, when Mary knew she was having a baby, what did the angel say to her? For that which is conceived within you is of the Holy Ghost. So the life that the Lord, at the time of conception in Mary's womb, that life was given by his Father to make the way of salvation for you and me and for the rest of the world. And at this point, Jesus is now commending back to his Father the life that he gave to him initially at the time of conception when he was formed in his mother's womb, over 33 and a half years at this point. And he cries out these words. A similar cry, another one of his followers cried out in Acts chapter 7. You can read about it onwards. But I want to quote verse 59 and 60. Remember Stephen? No, not our elder, by the way. This is what Stephen, the first Stephen, was the deacon. He cried out this, as they stoned him, they were killing him with rocks. And Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. That's in Acts chapter 7, verses 59 to 60. The similar words that Jesus cried out. As a follower of Christ, that's what we do. We do exactly what Jesus did. We follow Jesus. That leads me to this point, the second part, the second reading in Romans chapter 6. That's one of my favorite chapters, Romans chapter 6, 5, 6, and 7. But I like chapter 6 because it means a lot to me. Because that's what's happened this morning. In verse 4, you'll read that. But Paul says something at least 9 times in those 14 verses. He uses the word dead to sin. Someone asked me this morning, how do I baptize people? Do I baptize them forward or backwards? I said, how do you bury your body? Backwards or forwards? I'm not deciding. I'm just asking. I decided to bury them the way we normally bury people. So I hope you're buried. The old life is gone. Amen. That's what it's all about. And in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11, and 13 of those 14 verses, Paul uses the word or something like that of death to the old life. Baptism is not just something people use the word, and I've said this at the course, you must remember, I've said this, never use the word, I've been dunked. That's not what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted us to die to our old life so that we could rise and walk with him, the new life he's called us to walk, so that the world will see we are different. We cannot be blobs of the world. We are blobs of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to shout amen. It's in the Bible. Why does Paul repeat himself so many times? Because he wants every follower of Christ to get it. When we are buried with Christ, we must rise to walk the new life that he came to give us. Because this is the crucial part of being a believer, a follower of Christ. To live a godly life. My challenge is to everyone here, whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus, are you living a godly life? That's the question. Paul moves from justification in chapter 5. Christ came to justify us, to set us, to pay the price for our sin and everything. But he comes to chapter 6 and he says, this is the chapter that leads us to sanctification. That's important. I know these are big theological words. Don't worry about it. It means being changed to be like Jesus. Read Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. That's what it means. For we are conformed. He has called us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You can read it there. Growing in holiness. It's a growth. It's not. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I know I was pulled up on one church by somebody who said, no, I don't agree with you. I said, that's fine. You don't have to. And I pointed him what the word says, not what I'm saying. Without holiness, the scripture says, no one will see the Lord. And from that point of repenting of our sins, turning to Jesus and accepting him and acknowledging him as our Lord and our Savior, we begin to walk the new life with him. So we are changed into his image, into his likeness. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, every disciple of Jesus Christ must die to sin, to self, to Satan, and to death once and for all to be able to say, I am alive in Christ. Can you say that? Well, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm alive this morning in Christ. You can talk in church, by the way. Go for it. I gave you permission. Don't let sin be your master. I've come across so many people who've come to know Jesus with their heads and not their hearts. Jesus wants us to have an experience. And this is what I told the four this morning. Expect Jesus to be there in person in the power of his Spirit with you. And I trust you felt him there with you. Because there's nothing less than that. So that you can rise up and walk in the power of the Spirit to live, like Paul says here. Don't let sin be your master. And if there's anyone here where sin is your master, bring it to the cross this morning and say, Lord, that's where I need to leave my sin today. The 11th of April, 2021. I'm living way back there. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 says this, for sin shall no longer be your master. Because now, this is the reason, because now you are not under the law, but you're under grace. People take it for granted. I'm under grace now, I can do what I like. No, sorry, sir, sorry, ma'am. You got to do only what Jesus wants you to do, nothing else. Nothing short of that. I want to read those four verses again, but I want to hone in on verse 4. Well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, that's it. That's what I've told them. It's a death, a burial, and a resurrection this morning. By the way, I never told you this, but that's a grave that you were buried. Your old life is buried with Christ. Where's the other one? Dahlia. Oh, you're here over here. I'm missing one. You're dead, buried, and you're resurrected now to walk in the power of his Spirit. Hallelujah. Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Now, by the way, I've often said to the Lord, Lord, if you want to take me at the end of a sermon. As soon as I finish preaching and challenging the people and I sit down, call me home so they can all turn to you and realize they're going to be called home too. Oh, Lord, take me on my knees. I don't know how he's going to take me, but I'm prepared. I want to say this. How can we continue to live in the old way if Jesus paid such a substantial price of his own life for us? Have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ in baptism, that's what Paul says, we joined him in his death. Verse 4 is a very important verse. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power, not on ourselves, on our own strength, but the glorious power of the Father, the power of his Spirit, now we also may live the same old way we lived, right? No. What have I got wrong? We want to live new lives. Let me conclude by drawing your attention to these three things. All of us as followers of Jesus Christ must develop an intimacy with Christ on a daily basis. The more time you spend with him, the more you get to know him. Am I right, husbands, wives? Yes? It's true. The less time you spend with him, you will forget him. The second point, a deeper trust in our Heavenly Father. Not just a mental assent, but a spiritual, deeper sense of the Spirit saying, Father, you've said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'll do it. That's right. Nothing short of that is what he's calling for. An intimacy with him, a deeper trust in him, but finally, and this is the hardest one, a total submission, not just submission, a total submission to the Holy Spirit. Work in me, Lord, whatever you want. Send me, Lord, wherever you want. Call me, Lord, to do for you whatever you want. Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to develop it. I would have gone on to chapter 24 to say a few things, but just to suffice to say, in chapter 24, Jesus prepared his disciples for the next journey of the coming of the Holy Spirit so that they can be empowered to live the way he expected them to live. That's what happened in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be my witnesses, not to do witnessing, but to be my witness. That's what Jesus wants us. Have I got witnesses who are living for Christ here this morning? Yes. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Jesus was reunited with his Father. And through baptism, we are united with Christ in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And if there's anyone here who's hesitating, saying, yeah, I've given my life to Christ. Jesus is my Lord. He's forgiven my past. I'm following him. But no, I'm not ready for baptism. I want to say to you, you'll never be ready for baptism because you don't have to do anything to get ready for baptism. You only get to understand the scriptures and what the Lord teaches about baptism. Baptism is just an act of obedience because he said, repent, believe, be baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if your life is not built on those foundations, your life will shake as you live your life. The foundations need to be strong. And I challenge you. I'm looking forward to the day. I told Rod the other day when we were looking at the baptistry, what a day it'll be to have this baptistry opened every Sunday. What do you reckon, Rod? Oh, nobody's happy about that, Rod. I look forward to that day because the scripture says after Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit was given, 3,000 were added on that day, but he added daily those who were being saved. What's happened to the church today? If we get someone being saved once a year, we rejoice. Let's move gears, folks. You ready to it? I told you, I'll hit and run, then you can pick up the pieces. Yeah, I only got one more Sunday to last year. Finally, I want to just say, let us all of us, die daily to sin. Let us all live daily in the power of the Holy Spirit. For there's no other way to be the kind of person that Jesus died for, but this is the only way. And I want to say to everyone here, whether you know Jesus, I have known him for a long time, or you don't know him, it's time for you to put your life in order. No one knows what a day will bring. He may call you. It'll be too late to do anything. Have you decided to live for him on a daily basis? By dying to your old life? Don't pick it up and walk away. I told them that. Don't live the same old way you used to live. Start living a new life for Jesus. Father, this is your word you've given, which I've delivered to your people. And I've preached it to my own self, Lord. You know that. And I say again and reaffirm in the front of your people this morning, here am I, Lord, to continue the journey, as long as you spare me, to live a life dying to the old, dead to the old, so that I might rise. I have risen with you, Lord, and I'm going to continue to walk with you till the day you call me home or you come to call, take us back with you. We pray this together as your people. And if there's someone here, Lord, who has never made that commitment of their life, may this be a red letter day in their life. To obey your word and do what you say. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.